The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So there was this huge show that you did with Nick Fuentes. Then Josh Hammer, as I covered on my last episode, wrote this incredibly disgusting and creepy piece for the Daily Mail about it. And then there was a big event. I believe it was Genocide Fest 2025, where the theme of the entire thing was that Tucker Carlson is not MAGA. And in fact, there were calls to cancel Tucker Carlson. And so I kind of want to go through all of this as best we can and respond to it.
But basically, in the end, I decided Nick Fuentes can't be canceled. They've been trying since he was a freshman in college. It doesn't work. In fact, he's gotten bigger. He is enormously talented. Anyone who denies that is lying. And he has a semi-coherent kind of position. And I would like to hear what it is, because that's kind of my job. And I'm also interested because he's the most influential voice for men under 30 in the United States. More influential than me, more influential than you. I don't think there's any question about that.
The fragmentation of the political right. That fragmentation is being caused purposefully by a splinter faction of people led by a young man named Nick Fuentes. They call themselves the Groypers. The main agent in that normalization is Tucker Carlson, who is an intellectual coward, a dishonest interlocutor, and a terrible friend. And Tucker Carlson last week was aided, abetted, celebrated for normalizing Nazism within the Republican Party by the mainstay organization of the traditional right, the Heritage Foundation. Fuentes is a 27-year-old man who's dubbed himself the leader of a movement called the Groypers. He has a large audience of alienated young white men in particular, and he's earned increased media attention over the course of the past few years, especially over the last year. Now, from Tucker Carlson's interview, you might have gathered that Fuentes has some borderline views on race, a peculiar obsession with what he calls organized Jewry. Probably you came away thinking that, for the most part, Fuentes lives on the radical edge of normality. You think that if you watch the interview, because Tucker Carlson decided that it was important not only to host Fuentes, but to smooth over his views, water them down, and make them far more palatable to a normal audience. Nick Fuentes is a Hitler admirer and a Holocaust denier.
Buddy, it's Führer Friday. It is Hitler Friday. Shut up.
Hitler was a pedophile and kind of a pagan. It's like, well, he was also really cool. So, you know, time to grow up. We're not children anymore. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right, boys? Am I right? Let's go.
It doesn't really sound correct to me. Wait a second. It takes 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies, and you have 15 ovens, probably in four different kitchens, right? Doing 24 hours a day, every day for 5 years, how long would it take you to make 6 million? I don't know. It certainly wouldn't be 5 years, right? The math doesn't seem to add up there. The math doesn't quite seem to add up there. I don't think you'd result in 6 million. Maybe 200 to 300,000 cookies.
This is God's country. This is Jesus' country. This is not the domain of atheists or devil worshippers or perfidious Jews. This is Christ's country.
Nick Fuentes' philosophy is not fully formed. It's an incoherent stew of malignity. But that's where Tucker Carlson enters the story. Now, since his exit from Fox News in 2023, when, of course, he was a very, very popular host, Tucker Carlson has turned himself into a conspiracist and a crank and a pathological liar. Tucker excuses Vladimir Putin's murderous and barbarous reign. He has even become one of his most ardent defenders. Tucker Carlson glosses Hamas, the genocidal jihadi group behind October 7th, as a political organization.
You can't claim that they're in Hamas while simultaneously claiming that Hamas is a group of jihadis. They're Islamic extremists, which they also claim constantly, which I don't know if that's true, by the way. It seems more like a political organization, but whatever.
Seems like a political organization, Hamas. Just another political government, I guess. How do we get to this point? I mean, we are living in a world that is in total darkness. And you can search that word in the Bible and see that it's used over 100 times. And a lot of times talking about our spiritual understanding. We just don't want it. Like I said recently, John 3 and verse 19, Jesus came as a light to this world, but men rejected it. Men crucified him because men love darkness. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. So much to get to on the program, the ongoing feud within the conservative right. You know, the radical left must be, they must be sitting back just laughing hysterically. They despise the Jews as well. And here they see Fuentes and then Tucker bring him up. And Ben Shapiro's right. I talked about how conservative commentators have been kind of all over the map in the last 10, 12 years. And you really can't even explain it unless you understand that Satan is the god of this world and that Satan loves darkness. Even if you look at the recreation of this earth, those 6 days as God made it ready for the creation of human beings, Adam and Eve. One of the first things he did was he brought light. Of course, in the physical sense, he cleared away the darkness and he brought light to this earth. And that was a type that pointed to Jesus Christ in the spiritual sense. But we spiritually, we just want to dwell in darkness. You know what occurred to me as I was working on the cold open? I'm not sure about Dave Smith, the host that was talking to Tucker there. But most of these commentators talk about Jesus. They talk about the Bible. Well, Shapiro's not a Christian, but he's a Jew and he practices Judaism. So, I mean, they're holding up the Bible. They're promoting the Bible, they think. But then look at the division. Look at the strife. We'll look into the Bible a little bit later if we have time and see what it says about this world that is in total darkness. John 8 and verse 12, then spoke Jesus again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Unless you're following Jesus Christ, there is no light in you. I mean, this is all so revealing. How did we get to this point? It shows how far removed we are from God, and it proves what Herbert Armstrong said all through his ministry. In fact, God impressed this on his mind right there at the end of his life to go forward and write Mystery of the Ages, because Genesis 3, 22 through 24 says that the whole world is cut off from God and the tree of life. The whole world is deceived, Revelation 12, 9. And so God was impressing that on Mr. Armstrong's mind. He was coming to understand it more deeply. He was talking about how worldliness was rubbing off even on the church he established. And then you look at what happened after he died. I mean, it didn't take the devil that long to completely deceive the worldwide Church of God. And he did it using the men at the top. And he imposed his will on the congregants. And they all went along because they got away from the truth of the Bible. They stopped looking into the Bible. They just took what some man said about the Bible, some scholar, and they were intimidated into silence. Don't question it. Just go along like sheep, dumb sheep at that. That's the way this world is going. Everyone's got their opinion. Everybody wants to engage with everyone else, except with God. Except with God, as I said yesterday. You know who else they're not going to engage with? We'll bring it up. God's church will bring it up. When the persecution comes and they say, you know what, you've got to leave. We don't want to engage with you. Well, why not? You engaged with Hitler admirers. Didn't you want to just sit down and hear them out? I mean, after all, they've got somewhat of a following. Amos 7, verse 10 says, then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. We don't want the words of God's servant or prophet. So he's got to be censored. He's got to be deplatformed. He's got to be blotted out. He's got to be sent to Judah. Verse 12, and Amaziah said unto Amos, O you seer, go flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. We don't want your message. We've got our own religion. I mean, we talk about Jesus in the Bible all the time. Can't you hear us? Don't you see what we're saying? Well, the world is about to explode in violence. And you can feel it. I mean, it's palpable. The tension is in the air. The hatred is everywhere. And there's an especially hateful strain of it aimed at the Jews. And we can't even seem to learn the lesson of history, let alone the truth of the sure word of Bible prophecy. You look at Amos 8, this is what's prophesied. You know, when you see the dialogue, when you see the arguing, when you see the division, it proves so much about Bible prophecy. And that tells you how few people even delve into prophecy. They talk about Jesus. Well, Jesus is this way, and I'm a Christian. I'm a strong Christian. Well, we'll look at, in fact, we're putting together a podcast series on the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. In case you're interested, in case you're curious about what he actually taught and said and did, we'll have more on that later, but this is chapter 8 of Amos, verse 11. I said I'd get to the Bible later. Well, I changed my mind. Amos 8 and verse 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land." Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's what's coming upon our nations. There's going to be a famine of spiritual bread. You're just, if you're searching for the truth, you won't find it. That's in Bible prophecy. How many preachers tell you about this? None. They talk about Jesus nonstop in some cases. But what does prophecy say? Prophecy says we're descending into darkness, and it's going to end in great tribulation, and it's going to be worse than World War II. That's what Matthew 24 says. A world in darkness. John 12, verse 35. It says, then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. If you walk in darkness, I mean, you are just groping, stumbling, tripping. You don't know where you're headed. It's like I said yesterday, that's why the opinions, the commentary, it's all over the place. It's like we're dazed and confused. It's because we're in spiritual darkness. Ben Shapiro went on to talk about what Tucker Carlson is doing. And before today's show, I mean, I have to admit, I haven't listened to much of Nick Fuentes at all. So thanks to Shapiro, you know, hat tip to Shapiro and his crew for pulling some of this together. Because as you look at it, as you see these clips, you see just how deranged this guy is. And for Tucker to bring him on and to basically justify it by saying, you know what, he's got a large following. We've got to engage. We've got to convince the young people. So let's sit down and talk with them. That's how they're justifying this. Clip 4.
Tucker Carlson says many inflammatory things, always buying back just enough of it to appear as though he's not saying what he's clearly saying. He's a master of gaslighting. Tucker Carlson, for example, would never say out loud what Nick Fuentes does. He wouldn't say the things many of his guests say. And so instead, he acts as an ideological launderer. He takes other people's hideous ideas, he softens them, he treats them with love and care, and then he provides them with a massive signal boost. He isn't merely talking to people in good faith, of course. He's promoting certain people and ideas and attacking others. So, for example, he'll ask a series of wildly obsequious questions to Nick Fuentes. He'll even let Nick Fuentes' support for Joseph Stalin slide.
It's actually funny. It was December 18th. I remember because that's an important date to me. And what? It's Joseph Stalin's birthday.
Oh.
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of Stalin's?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was an admirer. But we don't need to go into that. I guess.
Well, that's... okay, let's get back. We'll circle back to that.
But he will grill Ted Cruz about the population of Iran. Tucker Carlson will have on Vladimir Putin's evil anti-American mouthpiece, Alexander Dugin, and then praise him.
You learn a lot just by the people they sit down with. Now, obviously, every interviewer sits down with individuals that have different views. But, I mean, we're talking about those that are out there admiring Hitler and Stalin. And then, in the case of Daryl Cooper, saying that Winston Churchill was the bad guy who basically is responsible for World War II. The lecture this morning in Principles of Living, going through Genesis 3, and Eve sitting down and engaging with the devil. I mean, like the Proverbs say, there's a time to answer a fool and there's a time not to answer a fool. So there is some engagement with the enemy. But it shows how little discernment we have. And obviously, the Spirit is not leading our commentators, our religious heads, our teachers, our professors, because we're just inviting in the devil for a nice cup of coffee. Eve should have slammed the door shut. I mean, there can be no more simple or straightforward command. You can partake of or eat from every tree in the garden except for this one. And the devil came along and said, you know what? God, he's not telling you the truth. You can go ahead and take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so she did. And you know what she thought? Well, this is actually, it looks good. It tastes good. She engaged with the devil. And the whole world was cut off from God because of it. That is the foundation for this present evil world. And for those of you that want to dismiss that and say, well, Adam and Eve, that's just an old fable. It didn't really happen. The Apostle Paul referred to it. Read the book of Romans. See what he says about the foundation of this world. In 1 Corinthians, he says that Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Christ came as the second Adam to qualify for rule over this earth. And you can read about the Titanic Battle of the Ages in Matthew 4, Luke 4. Jesus did qualify for world rule, and that's what he's coming back the second time to administer, to do, to rule this world. And you can see how much we need that godly rule. You can see how much we need the kingdom of God. I mentioned, hopefully I didn't say this on the show yesterday. I know I did in class. But the modern translation, I think it's the NIV. I read it in Life and Teachings yesterday, Mark 1, where it says Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And yet the more modern translations, put together by modern scholars, it says preaching the gospel of God. I mean, they just took out the word kingdom. They just blotted it out. Those are religious people, or I assume religious scholars. They're putting together a translation of the Bible and Christ is preaching about the coming kingdom and they just erase it. That's the way the devil operates. He wants to blot out the truth. And we are heading headlong into a time where the famine of the Word of God will cover the earth. And that's dangerous. I mean, it's already dangerous because we're dwelling in darkness. We don't want the light. We don't know when to engage, when to not engage. And Tucker can sugarcoat this all that he wants. But the truth, you look into Fuentes and you see just how crazy and deranged his reasoning is. And then the fact that there's so many young people that tune into him. What does that tell you about young people today, particularly young men? My father has a booklet on the conspiracy against fatherhood. I mean, among other things, this is a sign of a complete and total breakdown of the family as well. Listen to, I don't think I played, well, yeah, listen to clip 11.
I was saying, I was like, guys, this idea that we are on the precipice of another Holocaust, like, this is not grounded in reality and it's not healthy.
So we do need to, like, convince everybody the Fourth Reich is not rising. Settle down. I'm not a Nazi. I hate the Nazis. Let me tell you how I hate the Nazis and why. And I have real reasons for feeling that way. It's not just because you're supposed to hate the Nazis. I actually do hate the Nazis for real reasons. But let's just have that conversation. Let's stop. When you stop the conversation, everyone gets like completely paranoid and suspicious. That's one of the reasons, the main reason I interviewed Fuentes. It's like, let's just get it out there. If you disagree, tell me how. That's fine. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Just talk to all of them. Talk to the Jew haters. Talk to the Hitler lovers. And then for his part, Dave Smith is there saying, there's not going to be another Holocaust. If you believe that, you're just not grounded in reality. Oh, okay, thank you. So he knows. This is will worship on display. Worshiping your own opinions. There's not a Fourth Reich coming. That history is so far in the past. I mean, that is old news. It can't happen again. It won't happen again. Don't worry about it. And this is what passes for commentary in today's world. This is, I gave you the quote not so long ago from Mr. Armstrong about anti-Semitism and how it's like a drug or a poison. And there's a lot of people consuming it today. You certainly see that. Some allowing themselves to become hooked on the insidious, poisonous drug of anti-Semitism and hatred for Jews have never learned all there is to know about Jewish people. I gave a program last week. There's a chapter in this book, The Key of David. You know, why God uses the Jews, why he works through them. No race. No nation is perfect. But listen, God established the scepter promise in Judah. God used Judah to preserve the Old Testament scriptures, to preserve the sacred calendar. Jesus sprung from Judah. Jesus was a Jew. There's some praiseworthy attributes to look at there. There is with all peoples. But there's a lot of ugliness and sin. There's a lot of satanic reasoning. There's a lot of darkness in this world today. And there's more and more people that think, well, let's just sit down and engage with it. And surely we'll come to peace and unity. We'll build a utopia. We're headed in the opposite direction. Listen to Mark Levin. With JNS TV, clip 12.
Or how about somebody who thinks Hitler was better than Churchill and demeans our greatest generation, which apparently isn't greatest anymore? What kind of debate are we going to have? What kind of discussion? Are you going to bring on Jew haters who rewrite history about the Holocaust and so forth? We're going to have a debate over the Holocaust, the fact whether it existed or not? No. I don't have the power to deplatform people, but I have the power to detest them, to expose them, and condemn them. And that's what needs to be done.
That's Mark Levin again. He's right about this, that's for sure. I mean, Fuentes says that the Jews are responsible for every war in the world. And Tucker invites him on and says, okay. Well, he didn't say that on Tucker, but that's the man he invited on. They're responsible for every war in the world. The Jews are the problem, in other words. Hamas, Tucker says, it's just a political organization. The Jews need to apologize for bombing Christian churches. Hamas, not so much. What a worldview. What a warped worldview so many people have. Darkness has descended upon our nations. This is from an Islamist named Ghazi Hamad. This was on LBC TV 2 weeks after October 7, so 2 years ago. He said, we must teach Israel a lesson, and we will do this again and again. The Al-Aqsa flood is just the first time, and there will be a second, a third, a fourth, because we have the determination, the resolve, and the capabilities to fight. It says, he asked if he's willing to pay the price. He says, we are called a nation of martyrs, and we are proud to sacrifice martyrs. We are the victims of the occupation. Therefore, nobody should blame us for the things we do. Everything we do is justified. And in listening to Dave Smith and listening to Fuentes and listening to Tucker, even Steve Bannon to some extent, what you hear is that, well, Gaza's being destroyed. Israel's bombing churches. Israel's killing Christians. And nothing about Hamas except, well, they're a political organization, you see. They're legit. This guy says the occupation must come to an end. There was one clip, I don't think I pulled it, but Tucker said something to the effect that Jerusalem, he doesn't feel like Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, that it's in an international city. Well, okay. So you're left to decide these things? Warped worldviews. This guy, this Islamist, the existence of Israel is what causes all that pain, blood, and tears. You would expect this from an Islamist, but shame on Western commentators who just go right along with it. The Jews are the problem. What's the spirit behind that? Where does that come from? Well, I went through that with you on the show last week. Listen to Tucker Carlson on that Dave Smith podcast, clip 8.
And people can be changed by God, by the way. And the New Testament is that story of people who were, in the case of the whole hero of the New Testament, the human hero is a guy called Paul, who was murdering Christians as a Pharisee, and then becomes the greatest proselytizer in the history of Christianity and my personal hero. So, like, don't tell me that people can't be changed because of their blood. Now, that is the basis. That position is the basis of Western civilization. We often talk about Western civilization, and we're all defending Western civilization. Israel's defending Western civilization. Israel does not have a Western position on this question. The Israeli position, not of all Israelis, by the way, and certainly not of all Jews, but I'm saying of the Israeli government and of a couple of its ministers, which they say this out loud all the time, is that everybody who's related to a terrorist shares in his guilt. That's collective punishment. It is blood guilt, and it's antithetical to Christianity and to the West.
So people can change. That's why we should talk to them. That's why we should sit down with Fuentes and his supporters, the young men that flock to him in droves. And he cites the Apostle Paul as an example. Well, Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute some Christians, perhaps even kill Christians. And guess what happened on the road to Damascus? God in heaven above, the eternal God, struck him down. God struck him blind. God said, Paul, why are you fighting me? Why are you fighting me? He humbled Paul. He corrected Paul severely. And Paul, to his credit, he humbled himself. And he said, God, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? And so God gave him instructions. And he had to be led by the hand into Damascus like a little child because he was blind. Paul had a lot of vanity and arrogance. Paul hated God. Paul was fighting God. And it wasn't some podcaster that showed up on the road to Damascus saying, hey, let's just talk this out. Let me hear your views. Why are you going to Damascus to kill Christians? I'm curious. I think my audience needs to know. I think we can talk this out and you can change. You see how little these commentators know about the true God. You see, you read Romans 1 sometime and see if God is, you know, just kind of passive about sin. Well, listen, we'll sit down and have a good chat and I'll understand what you believe about this subject or that. And maybe if you'll hear me out, we can turn things around. It says in Romans 1 that God is full of wrath because of our sins. And so our nations, our people, they need to be struck down. We need to be humbled. All of us. And God's about to do that. That's why the great tribulation is coming upon us. It's God's corrective hand. Well, the day of the Lord in particular, the last year of that 3.5-year period, Satan's wrath is going to be unleashed during that tribulation time, and what a dark, dark period in human history that will be. The worst that this earth has ever seen. And it's because of our sins. It's because of how stubborn and rebellious we've been. It's because there's no repentance. There's no childlike attitude. There's no fear of God. Read the last few verses of Ecclesiastes 12. I read it last week. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and obey his commands. Listen to Tucker again on Dave Smith's show, clip 10.
I mean, I talked to, you know, Mark Levin. I talked to him right after Charlie was killed. I called Mark Levin and I called Ben and I said, I don't want to fight at all with you. I'm actually not obsessed with Israel. You clearly are. But I do think we agree on a lot of things. And like, let's not fight. I called them both and I said that. And they were both nice to me about it. Very nice. And then immediately started attacking me again. Whatever, they can't help themselves. But Levin did say something amazing to me. He's like, everyone hates Jews. They're Jew haters everywhere. And I'm fighting the Jew haters. And it's like, I mean, I guess if you spend your life on Twitter, you run into a lot of Jew haters. But in real life America, like, no, that's not actually, most people are really nice. And
there you go. Is that comforting? Most people are really nice. The Jew hatred doesn't really exist, except on Twitter. But most people that I've encountered, they love people. They love each other. They love the Jews. In Michael Duran's article, the Jews are a proxy for a far bigger political fight. Duran, by the way, is on with Gadi Taub a lot, his podcast, and we've had him on this show previously. We'll have him again on the show in February, when he makes a trip to the United States. But Duran says, since October 7, 2023, American Jews have found themselves squarely in the crosshairs of the political left and the political right. As I said, the radical left must be laughing hysterically. It says, on the right, the emblem is Tucker Carlson. He elevated the podcaster Daryl Cooper to the best and most honest popular historian in the United States. That's a direct quote. The best and most honest historian in the U.S. Tucker loves him some Daryl Cooper. Oh, yes. Cooper trivializes the Holocaust as a bureaucratic mishap and depicts Winston Churchill as a defender of not as a defender of liberty, but as the agent of rich Jews. Churchill, not Hitler, becomes the villain, dragging America into war. World War II ceases to be a triumph of good over evil. It becomes the first in a series of misguided American interventions abroad, engineered ultimately by Jews. There's a bit of history from Daryl Cooper, brought to you by Daryl Cooper, the best historian there is, according to Tucker Carlson. Listen to clip 5.
Tucker Carlson will have on a Hitler-friendly pseudo-historian to minimize the Holocaust and blame Winston Churchill for World War II, and he will call him America's best and most honest historian. Tucker Carlson will have on over and over a pro-Chinese propagandist who used global warming to promote global socialism, all in order to criticize Israel and hug China. See, this is how Tucker Carlson's ideological laundering works. You bring your dirty, ugly ideologies to Tucker Carlson's rhetorical car wash. He mixes it with some of the vestigial respect Americans have for him from his Fox News days, and voila, hideous ideas suddenly become mainstream. And then, of course, Tucker denies he said anything controversial at all. He was just asking questions. He was just interviewing people. You don't want him to cancel people, do you?
It's amazing how many people follow these different commentators with all of their different ideas and views. This is an article by Michael Duran. Carlson's program has entertained claims that Israeli intelligence had foreknowledge of 9/11 and suggested that Israel turned Al-Qaeda's attack into a lever to drag America into Iraq for its own purposes. At Charlie Kirk's memorial, he pushed further. Carlson likened Kirk's death to the crucifixion of Jesus. Both truth-tellers, he said, killed because their message threatened the rich and powerful. He pictured the men who killed Jesus meeting in a lamp-lit room eating hummus. Why are Americans suddenly attacking Jews from left and right simultaneously? The crossfire grows out of a larger debate about America's role in the world. The alliance structures, the global commitments built for the Cold War sit uneasily. Well, he goes and looks at some important history, and he talks about things we've talked about before. Michael Oren in his book, Power, Faith, and Fantasy, writing about the establishment of the Israeli state and going back to America's earliest beginnings. And pointing out how so many of those immigrants, the Puritans and others, they came to America and they likened themselves to Israelites fleeing persecution. And they created these great buildings in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. with all of these references to Old Testament Israel. It says here, the identification endured in some way. Well, let me back up. In crossing the Atlantic, the Puritans saw themselves as Israelites crossing the Red Sea. They mapped the Holy Land into the wilderness, Bethel, Salem, Zion, Mount Ephraim. Massachusetts Bay was the New Jerusalem rising from European corruption. I mean, what happened? I mean, to use other scriptures, as I've noted, we're brothers. I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason these three have typically been so close. Ephraim, Manasseh, Judah, America, Britain, and little Israel. It's because they're brothers. And you see that brotherly relationship unraveling. It's happening right before our eyes. Carlson is fighting inside MAGA for leadership of the future Republican Party. He seeks to pull it away from Donald Trump's muscular nationalism toward pure isolationism. The Jews are pulling us abroad. And so we've got to sever those ties with the Jews. And we've got to completely isolate ourselves. No more foreign wars. I mean, he's an isolationist in the strictness of the term. But so many people in MAGA are not that far behind. They've seen disastrous war after disastrous war, and they want it to stop. They just want to come home. It says, to achieve this vision, the bond must be severed. In recent months, Carlson and like-minded commentators have repeatedly cast Israel as a persecutor of Christians, including in Gaza. Listen to this from Tucker on Dave Smith's show, clip 9.
I mean, I don't know, like the Ten Commandments have a pretty clear one about murdering people. And those are the commandments that Jews are commanded to follow. And so I would personally say all of this stuff, this entire foreign policy is completely inconsistent with Christianity, and it's completely inconsistent with Judaism.
They're murdering people in Gaza, the Jews. Never mind October 7. I mean, that's way in the past. The Jews are murderers. And then for his part, here's Tucker, clip 19.
I want to be very specific quickly about what I was talking about. In a couple, at least a couple of different occasions, the Israeli government bombed churches in Gaza and killed a bunch of Christians. And not an accident, of course. I mean, this is like a very high-tech military with precision. I mean, they, you know, gave pagers with bombs in them to Hezbollah. So like this is a military, a national defense institution that understands what it's doing. They didn't accidentally bomb two churches and kill these Christians, and they never apologized for it. And so I brought this up with a couple of Christian leaders, and including the Speaker of the House, and said, like, what is, you know, how can, what, we're paying to bomb churches? Because we're paying for it. And the response I got from every single one was, the Bible commands us to support Israel. And I said, so Jesus is telling us that we need to get on board with murdering Christians? Is that what you're saying? And they basically were just like, shut up. And I found that extremely, as a Christian, extremely upsetting. And I've never kind of gotten over that.
So that's why he attacks Ted Cruz, and then he invites Fuentes on, or Cooper, and I mean, he just loves them. They're great. They're great historians. They're great podcasters. And notice at the start, he talks about two Christian churches bombed in Gaza, as if it's not a war zone, as if October 7, as if he's implying that the Jews targeted the churches. I mean, they know. They put those pagers in the pockets of Hezbollah. They have the sophisticated technology to, never mind that, for all we know, Hamas, they might have taken over those churches. That's what they do with hospitals. They use them for cover. But that's not possible. No, Jews are murderers. This is the message. This is the message they want for you to get. And they're going after traditional Christian churches, which have historically been supportive of Israel. I mean, the satanic spirit behind this, to try to divide and conquer and win control of the Republican Party, as this article brings out. It's built on this insidious hatred of Jews. And it basically suggests that you can attack Israel and kill Jews all you want, and the Jews just simply can't respond. They can't fight back. And if they do, they're murdering people. They're murdering. Have you ever seen a counteroffensive where it's been more strategic and precise and careful? Of course, there's going to be collateral damage here and there. But the Jews go out of their way to not kill civilians. The Hamas terrorists go out of their way to kill civilians. Now, how do we address that? How do we address that? I guess you just step back and sit down on a podcast format and say, you know, really, everything I've noticed is that people are pretty nice. One last quote here. Arguments about Israel are at bottom arguments about America. From the Puritans onward, Americans have cast their story in Israel's image. To be for or against Israel is to choose among competing visions of the American future. When Trump embraces Netanyahu while waving off Carlson, he is not just setting Middle East policy, he is declaring who America is. For when Americans talk about Israel, they are talking about themselves. Twin nations that gestated in the same womb, bound by covenant and destiny. Brothers, brother nations, and yet such bitter division, just as it's been in Israel's history. And by Israel, I'm speaking more broadly. I'm giving it in the biblical sense. Not just the little tribe of Judah, all 12 tribes. Division and strife. I mean, really, when you step back and look at the larger sin, or perhaps the larger weakness here, what we're seeing is weak nations in Israel. We're seeing weakness in America, in Great Britain. And the world sees it too. And the Gentile nations see it too. And they are rising. This is Mark Levin from last week, or maybe yesterday, clip 14.
The West is weak. We're weak. When leading Republicans and leading conservative organizations can't, in a full-throated, plain English, one or two syllable word at a time, condemn what's taking place, we have a serious problem.
He's right. I mean, there's weakness. You can't even come out and denounce madness. You got to sit down with them. You got to engage. Douglas Murray, he was on with Fox News discussing the decline of Britain. It's happening there too. In some ways, it's happening even faster. I mean, they got a head start coming out of World War II. And the stability and the relative peace in the world following the greatest of all wars this globe has ever seen is because of the American superpower, is because of the strength and the power of Manasseh. But so much of that is now gone. And there's weakness. Listen to Douglas Murray, clip 13.
From immigration to economic policies to international affairs, as just an American watching what's happening in Britain, worried about what's happening in America, but watching what's happening in Britain, I see one of the greatest countries in the history of mankind in a steep decline. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It is in a decline, and it's for lots of reasons. One is the open borders immigration policy that the British government has had for years now. And this, of course, causes a cultural change. I describe it as a cultural suicide in my book from about 10 years ago, The Strange Death of Europe. And so the country's got this unbelievable identity crisis caused by legal and illegal mass immigration. But then there's also the economic degradation of the country. You know, the Labour government, since it came into power a year ago now, has instituted even higher taxes. It's chased out tens of thousands of multimillionaires. I sometimes said that the UK is a kind of petri dish experiment which Americans should look to see where you shouldn't go. All of these things have been tried in the UK. All of them have failed. And it causes this just cultural malaise, this sense that I get whenever I'm back in the UK, that just nothing is going to get better. And I'm afraid that for the foreseeable future is the case. It's not like the British public have estimated their own illness incorrectly.
He says Brits feel like nothing's going to get better. Now, I think there's a lot more optimism here in the States because of Jeroboam, but still, look at the infighting in the MAGA movement. My father gave a program back in 2005, 20 years ago, on Noah's flood. Is it a myth? And he talks in this program about just rejecting the sure word of Bible truth, the word of God. He refers to this verse in Matthew 13, Jesus saying, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." I mean, this is spiritual darkness Jesus is talking about. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." I mean, we've got to open our eyes. We've got to listen to what the Spirit is saying. We've got to listen to God. We've got to turn to God. We've got to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the solution. I'm not oversimplifying this at all. That's the synopsis of the Bible. And it's what man refuses to do. In this clip, my father, again, this is 20 years ago, he's commenting on this verse, Matthew 13 and verse 15 that I just read. Listen to clip 15.
This is a prophecy about this end time. Now look, the one thing that we have to do is keep our mind open. If you have a closed mind, nobody can teach you anything. That's why you see these talk shows where they have people on there duking it out verbally. And you can see that oftentimes that both sides have an absolute closed mind. Each one of them has a closed mind. But here God is saying, now you'd better keep your mind open to the foundation of all knowledge, which is the Bible.
You talk about engaging today and justify it by saying, well, you know, people can change. But as he says there, if you're listening to the Spirit, you see that their minds are actually closed to the truth. They're closed. to God's knowledge. Hosea 4 talks about mankind rejecting knowledge. And God says, because you've rejected my knowledge, I'm going to reject you. He brought that out in that program from 20 years ago as well. Listen to clip 17.
But I'm telling you, if you will come to this book and prove this foundational knowledge, you're going to fall in love with the Bible. You're going to fall in love with it. It's going to be one of your greatest joys just to be able to study this wonderful truth and these prophecies being fulfilled. And your Bible is going to come alive, and God is going to come alive, and you're going to be moved and stirred and filled with joy like you never, ever have been in your life. Do you think people in this world are happy? Well, even the so-called experts, well, and I guess in this field they are experts, they will tell you, even though we have, it seems like everything, we're less happy than we used to be. And for good reason.
The signs are everywhere, aren't they? The handwriting is on the wall. You see it in the faces of people. You see it in the darkness that's set in. You see it in people groping for the light, for the truth, and they're not finding it. In my father's booklet, Hosea Reaping the Whirlwind, he says, and this is writing about Hosea 4, and maybe I'll get to that again tomorrow on the show, but he says, people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge, spiritual knowledge from God. That is the raging, super desperate need of this world. We need God's knowledge. We need the teachings of Christ. We need the truth of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You don't see people seeking that on these programs, in these arguments. My father talking about arguments on the cable news networks even 20 years ago. I mean, this has been going on for decades. And we think it's a sign of strength. And it's actually exposing our weakness. Weakness in Britain, weakness in America, weakness in Israel. Little Judah, I mean, there have been stories there about these corrupt judges, and they've been exposed as they've tried to take out Bibi Netanyahu. And yet I suppose some conservative commentators would probably cheer that on. I mean, the ends justify the means. You got to get rid of Bibi. I mean, he lies about everything, says Steve Bannon. He lies. And they're quiet about Hamas. The terrorists that puncture a hole in the security fence of Israel on October 7th, 2023. And they just storm into southern Israel, raping, murdering, pillaging, burning, looting. Thousands and thousands of poor, persecuted Palestinians. Is that right? Just pouring into Israel, murdering Jews. And here we are 2 years later, and it's the Jews that are the problem. You can only explain that if you understand who the God of this world is. Now, in Mystery of the Ages, chapter one, you've got who and what is God, the true God. And then chapter two, you've got the God of this world exposed. The prince of darkness exposed. And we know this because of God's truth, because of God's knowledge. That, as my father says in the Hosea booklet, spiritual knowledge from God is what this world so desperately needs. Well, that's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. I told you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.